Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Tax returns could look a little bit different this year, so when the big carriers start trying to get you to splurge on the latest nonsense, just tune it out and rock out with only the best deals. With Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less.
The first degree.
These things are supposed to happen in movies, not in real life.
I was completely stunned because it's just not something that happens to you. It's something that happens to other people, you know? I completely just broke down.
Welcome to The First Degree, the true crime podcast that you might end up on. My name is Jack Vanek. I'm sitting far away from Alexis Linkletter and Billy Jensen. How are we doing, guys?
We are doing.
We're doing.
This episode, we know, is a little bit late, but somehow the Wi-Fi in all of Los Angeles went out last night, so Billy was unable to record. So we're just doing a little last minute
thing. Here we are. We're rolling with the punches. Yes. This is the world we live in.
Yeah, I don't even know what happened, but I guess we're all back and ready to roll. So, Billy, we're going to jump right into it. What day is it today?
It is National Tortilla Chip Day, February 24th.
Ooh, get yourself some guac, a nacho.
Queso.
That sounds delish.
Some queso.
A queso. Are there any other good days?
It's also National Trading Card Day. And I know I collected a lot of trading cards growing up. Did either of you ever buy any trading cards?
No. Like, what
Pokemon,
trading cards?
Magic thing. I mean, those are gaming cards, too, but...
No. What trading cards did you have? Like, a baseball card?
Well, sure, baseball cards, everything like that. But you got to remember, before the internet, if you really wanted to, like, relive your favorite movie, they had trading cards for them. So every movie, Jaws, Close Encounters, Star Wars, every movie had trading cards. And also, a lot of TV shows had trading cards, too.
Oh, I did not know that.
It was a way to like keep your fandom going.
I liked Pogs.
What was your?
I liked.
Oh hell yeah!
I liked Pogs and Beanie Babies and stickers.
Well, Pogs are kind of technically a really thick round card, so we did have trading
Pogs
cards.
Are cool.
Yes.
Where'd all my Pogs go?
Was there a particular Pog that you?
No,
liked?
I liked.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like Slammers. I liked the Slammers.
I know. Well, I'm kind of wondering. The Slammers were the shit, and you could get all the really
heavy
cool
ones.
Slammers that had sparkles in them and stuff like that. But I kind of am a little bit shocked that Pogs never made their second round with the Gen Zers. Like, don't you think that'd be something they'd be into nowadays?
Well, you know what? First degree merch ideas.
We're going to make some Pogs. I don't know where the freaking hell I'm going to find a place to make us Pogs, but maybe we're the ones that are going to bring it back. You know, two millennials and a Gen Xer, we're doing it. So can't wait. Are there any other good ones?
Yeah, it's World Bartender Day.
I miss your bartenders. Bartender? I wish I could see one.
Yes.
I wish I could see any bartender ever. The day that I see my first bartender, I'm tipping him $100 just because I'm so excited to be out.
Even
and about
a bad
again.
One. Just make me the worst drink in the world. I'll drink it. I just want to be in a social setting where it's safe.
Make me a terrible, terrible $20 tequila and nothing drink. I don't even know how you can mess up, but I will still tip you so much money. So can't wait for that day, but that's enough of that. So let's turn down the lights.
And turn up your anxiety.
Because this could be you. Today's case takes us to Rockville, Maryland. And for those who don't know, Montgomery County, which is where Rockville is located, is well known as a wealthy area within Maryland. In fact, in 2018, the county was named the best place to live in Maryland by Money Magazine. For context, this region sits just north of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. So many who work for the government and in politics settle here.
Today's case takes us back to just over a year ago, February 13th of 2020, the day before Valentine's Day. Songs The Box by Roddy Ricch and Circles by Post Malone were topping the charts, and movies Birds of Prey and Sonic the Hedgehog were in theaters. And another notable aspect of February of 2020 is the news of the pandemic was slowly spreading throughout the world. It was only a month before U.S. lockdowns began in March. And you remember what happened when the restrictions and the lockdowns came? It was a lot of TV and it was a lot of scrolling on your phone. TV and scrolling.
And we were all scrolling, glued to our favorite devices. And so was our first degree, Kristen.
I found out about this in March. So I was in quarantine. I had just lost my job and kind of trying to live as I can, kind of trying to ignore what was happening in the world because everything sucked. So I was just scrolling through my Instagram and I saw a picture of one of my sorority sisters with him.
So this him Kristen is talking about, you'll learn the identity of this individual soon.
Pretty much the caption was just, rest in peace. You're a wonderful person.
I can only speak for myself when I say this. The older we get, the more frequently I see these types of social media posts, and we're left to speculate as to what happened to a person we know or used to know, regardless of how close we were. Your mind kind of runs wild with the possibilities, then the frantic Googling starts, and then, of course, the scrolling.
Initially, I was just like, okay, must have been a freak accident, a car accident. I didn't think it was suicide, because I just don't see that happening.
Kristen's mind went to where any of our minds would go. There must be an explanation for someone our own age losing their life. A reasonable explanation. And there was. Just not the one that Kristen was expecting.
February 13th, 2020. It was a chilly February evening in Rockville, Maryland. And again, it was the day before Valentine's Day, which is a day that people love or they dread based on their relationship status or a myriad of other random factors. The day was chilly. The high that day was 44 degrees, low of 36, just 4 degrees shy of freezing. And the day turned into night, and for the most part, the evening had been pretty uneventful. But all of this changed at 11:16 p.m.
Because 11:16 p.m. is when a call came into the Rockville Police Department. On the line, there was a man who was totally frantic, and he was calling to report a stabbing at the 400 block of West Montgomery Avenue, only blocks from Rockville's busy downtown area. This report was shocking, unnerving, a stabbing in this upscale neighborhood. What could possibly be going on here? Police officers were dispatched and approached the two-story home. It was set far back off the street. The aesthetics of this house portrayed the exact opposite of a place where you'd expect something sinister to happen. It was red, barn red. It had a white trim. It had a porch on the bottom level of the home that had a railing around it. The railing looked to be made of a white picket fence. Honestly, this place looks completely wholesome.
So the police, I'm sure, pulled up to this place and they're wondering what they're about to walk into. They approach the home. They enter the home. And once inside, they realized completely the severity of the situation, and it was a scene they would never forget. Inside, there were three individuals, two men and one woman. One of the men inside was bleeding profusely from a stab wound to the neck. And there was a woman lying on top of him, covered in blood and yelling, sobbing and screaming, "I'm sorry," while she sat in a pool of blood, his blood. She was begging this person, essentially, not to die.
And needless to say, the sight of this would be obviously shocking for anyone. But the police had a job to do. They had to save this man who was suffering from the life-threatening wounds. And while the wounded man was alive when police arrived, after all the life-saving efforts were made, he sadly died at the scene.
This entire scenario evoked several questions. Who are these three people? And what happened? Why did one of them lose their life?
You know, we're at the scene now, and putting yourself in the shoes of the police, you can understand why trying to get information from those who were present would be pretty challenging at that moment. There was blood, there was hysteria, there was chaos, and ultimately death. And now, on top of all of that, there's a police presence. Police eventually identified the three individuals at the scene. The woman who was crying, covered in blood, and yelling, "I'm sorry," was later identified as 27-year-old Sophia Negroponte. The man who had lost his life was identified as 23-year-old Yusuf Rasmussen, and the other man was identified as Philip Guthrie. The police at this point were working to piece together what they were dealing with, so naturally, they're looking for context, and they wanted to know who actually lived at this house. And as it turns out, nobody did. And that's because this place was rented as an Airbnb, but there'll be more on that later.
Law enforcement need to know what happened here. And of the three people at the scene, there were only two people they could ask. Sophia Negroponte, who's the woman crying over Yusuf in his blood, and the other individual present at the scene, Philip Guthrie.
Sophia was in hysterics, so they pressed Philip for details, and he started at the very beginning. So it turns out he had arrived at this rental house at 10 p.m. that night. When he got there, Sophia and Yusuf were the only two present at the home, and it was clear that the two of them had been drinking prior to Philip's arrival. But once Philip got there, the drinking continued. Philip made a round of margaritas for the friends while the TV was on in the background.
Philip continued and said that at some point, the energy in the room began to shift. So according to the charging documents, here's what we know as far as what happened that night. So apparently, Sophia and Yusuf got into a bit of a tiff. And for whatever reason, Sophia, who ended up standing behind Yusuf during this argument, ended up grabbing him from behind before essentially tackling him to the ground. Yusuf did his best to get Sophia off of him without actually fighting back or hurting her. And whatever he did ultimately worked because the whole thing calmed down and was brushed off. And the evening moved forward as normal.
And while the bickering halted, it wasn't long before it started right back up again. And it's unclear exactly what these arguments were about. At one point, Yusuf began digging and searching for his phone inside his backpack as Sophia continued to confront him. And this whole thing about him looking for his phone, we don't know what he was trying to do. And I'm totally speculating when I say this, but I'm guessing that maybe he wanted to remove himself from the situation. You could understand why, right? And according to Philip, who witnessed this whole thing, this is when things took a dark turn. So as he's digging for the phone in the backpack, Sophia walks into the kitchen, opens one of the drawers, reaches her hand in, and grabs a knife. And then she removes it from its sheath. Then she walks toward Yusuf and lunges at him. And Yusuf put his arms up to protect himself, but it was of no use because the blade went right to his neck and pierced his neck. And blood began gushing from the wound before Yusuf even hit the floor.
So this witness account was disturbing to say the least. Sophia Negroponte was arrested at the scene. Police observed that she had several cutting wounds on her right hand. And surely, at this point, the detectives are struggling to make sense of what exactly happened that could have prompted Sophia to attack Yusuf. So under questioning, Sophia confirmed certain aspects of Philip's story. She told police that the argument she and Yusuf had was over a silly issue. That's a direct quote. She then said that all she remembered was removing the knife from Yusuf's wound. After Sophia was arrested, police searched the interior and exterior of this home, and they found a green-handled knife in the outside. The reporting didn't indicate whether this was, in fact, the knife used to attack Yusuf, but my personal opinion, this is probably the knife, because why would they bring it up in the reporting if it was just a random knife found outside? But anyways.
So naturally, the police wanted to know everything about both Sophia and Yusuf in an effort to make more sense of what did happen that night. Who were they, and what were their connections to one another? Apparently, Sophia and Yusuf had met and become acquainted at the Lab School of Washington, D.C. Yusuf graduated in 2013, which was 1 year before Sophia did.
It didn't take long for the police to learn who Sophia Negroponte's father was. And this one detail would draw a great deal of media attention to this case. Because as it turned out, Sophia was the daughter of John Negroponte, who under the Bush administration was appointed as the first ever director of national intelligence from 2005 to 2007. And then he served as Secretary of State from 2007 to 2009. So he's a heavy, heavy hitter in government. And beyond that, Negroponte acted as the U.S. ambassador to Honduras, Mexico, and Iraq. And it was during his time in Honduras where John and his wife adopted 5 children from the country, and one of them was Sophia. It's also worth mentioning that Negroponte, quote, was one of 50 former Republican national security officials who, ahead of Donald Trump's election as president, signed an open letter saying Trump was unqualified to hold the office and would, quote, put at risk our country's national security and well-being, which was true.
So, as expected, the media interest and vast coverage of this case came swiftly. And while the world zeroed in on this perplexing story, and those around Sophia were acting pretty quickly to do some damage control. In contrast to that, those closest to Yusuf were in complete peril over the loss.
News of Yusuf's death soon moved past the boundaries of Maryland and through his extensive network of friends. And this included friends he'd made during his undergrad college years. And remember, our first degree Kristen found out about Yusuf's death while she was scrolling through Instagram. And at first she had no idea what had caused her friend to lose his life. But by this point, to her horror, she discovered that he had been stabbed and killed.
Pretty much immediately after I saw the post, I Googled his name, you know, expecting to see like a car accident or some kind of freak accident. I was completely stunned because it's just not something that happens to you. It's something that happens to other people, you know. I completely just broke down.
And Kristen noticed that the reporting seemed to focus on Sophia more than Yusuf.
I see this person and all of these articles, they're just talking about her dad is a U.S. diplomat. And I got angry. I got really angry. I was just like, I don't give a shit about you. Like, you killed my friend. You know, it's infuriating. If I'm looking in from the outside, you only really know information about her. You don't know what kind of person Yusuf was, you know, the kind of things that he did, the work ethic that he had, the drive that he had. His laugh was amazing. It was just the funniest laugh ever.
By this point, the media coverage was really ramping up. The Baltimore Sun ran a story, People Magazine ran a story, The Daily Mail ran a story, CNN ran a story, and these were just a few of the dozens and dozens of outlets that covered this case. And Kristen is right. The media seemed to focus, for the most part, on Sophia and her father's connected status and the gory details. Yusuf seemed to be an afterthought. So I think we see this a lot in these kinds of cases, and we have... What's going on here is twofold. We have this highly connected political figure who's the father of the perpetrator. And we have not a lot of details about what's happened. And my theory on that is due to who her father is, her father squashed a lot of things being released. And this is a different story for us in that there's fewer details to work with than usual. But I think that's the point we want to convey, that the damage control that Sophia's father was doing is still evident today as you're trying to figure out what happened here.
I mean, I think that we all know that high, powerful political players can pretty much erase basically whatever they want. I mean, even murders sometimes. So to me, this isn't that surprising that it seems to, the details seem to have been wiped a lot from the situation that has gone on. But it's sadly typical of what can happen in our country, I think.
And it's also a matter of what the media focuses on. You know, the media is always going to focus on who the more famous person is. And especially, you know, you got to remember, in D.C., the celebrities are the politicians, are the people in government. So if they're able to find a story that's based on that, even if it's a family member of somebody connected to that, they're going to run with it. And you see that everywhere, you know, with cases like Aaron Hernandez, where the biggest celebrities in Boston are sports figures. You know, yeah. They focused a lot more on Aaron Hernandez than on Odin Lloyd, who was, you know, his victim. So you've got a lot of that going on, and especially because, you know, they and listen, these reporters in these towns, they want the information. They definitely want it because they see blood in the water and they want to go for it. But you're right. It's, you know, these guys are very highly connected and they're going to try to squash as much as they can to get as the information comes out.
Right. And I think one more thing worth noting is that there was so little information about Sophia available. Her social media sites have all been taken down and she's 27. She's not 22. You know, sometimes like college age, I should be able to find more. I did find one thing that is sort of just playing into exactly what we're talking about. So in 2016, there was a report that she was banned from entering Joint Base Meyer-Henderson at Arlington, Virginia. Literally banned from entering the premises due to something.
But I can't find out any more about that. But like to get banned from an Air Force base, we have to, this is complete speculation. Why are you trespassing on an Air Force base? What did you do to get banned from it? If you're not in the Air, first of all, she's not in the Air Force. So why is she there at all? And if she, why she's banned from it? Okay.
Well, maybe she got banned because she was trespassing. I don't know. A cause and effect there? I have no idea. But that is very strange.
Right. It is. And especially especially considering who her dad is. Her dad's Secretary of State. It was the Secretary of State at one point. What was going on there? Yeah.
I think that there's also something to it that the perpetrator was a female and the victim was a male. Because I think as a society, we always... And it is usually... perpetrator is a man and a lot of times the victim is a female. So I think that there's some sense of like attraction from the media in a case like that as well. I mean, you think about Jodi Arias, nobody knew Travis Alexander's name like at all for the most part. So people really latch on to, I think, female killers in that way as well.
Totally. And just one more thing too that I found, again, scant evidence about Sophia online, but in 2018, she had a federal bench warrant placed on her for not showing up for a court date. I don't know what she was supposed to go to court for, because that's all information you can't find. But so this one person on Twitter was like posting this stuff and at replying and like calling people out, like, what is this about? You know, but again, you can't find anything. Whoever's this damage control that's been done to protect her has been effective.
And it is so hard to scrub the internet of
very
things.
Hard.
Like that is almost impossible to do. So yeah. And like you said, if she's 27 years old, there's any normal 27 year old has a bunch of shit all over the internet. Like it would be almost impossible to pretty much scrub somebody's life. So that there was a lot going on behind
the
scenes.
Right. But we're talking about literally the first ever head of national intelligence of the United States. If someone can scrub something, it's this guy. Literally to be the most connected digitally as far as like and you have to also think about his perspective, right? That he probably has the highest level of clearance you can get without being the president, and this is what his kid is doing. Like imagine what you would do. And I'm not saying what he's doing is good or bad, but like whoever his government, he's not working for it anymore, but they're probably like, handle this, dude. Like you're handle us.
It's making us look even worse than we do.
Right.
Yeah.
Bad PR.
And it might have also been something like she might have been saying stuff on social media you don't know, and he might have even put a clamp on it and gotten even erased him before this. You know what I mean? Yeah. There are ways that, and even though he wasn't still in that office, you have friends, you know, and that's, and DC is entirely based on connections. That's how DC entirely
right
works.
And I want to just give a reminder here that this is speculation about John Negroponte scrubbing the internet. I mean, there's nothing there, so it's an assumption we're making, but we're alleging this. We don't know for sure.
The thing that bothers me the most is that there's almost no information about him. You don't get a sense of who he was and the kind of person he was, other than a random comment from a close friend that doesn't mean anything to you if you don't know him, if you can't get a sense of the person that he was.
Well, Kristen's going to help us understand Yusuf and the person he was. She met Yusuf at Muskingum University in Ohio.
Muskingum University is in eastern Ohio in a city called New Concord. It was really hilly and very nature-oriented. There was a big lake and bunch of ducks. We called them musky ducks. So I met Yusuf through my roommate my sophomore year. So we were all super close. We were just inseparable.
Kristen describes Yusuf as being totally loved by everyone.
So Yusuf, he was like a little guy, but like kind of buff. But he was really good looking and sweet. Everybody knew Yusuf. Everybody loved Yusuf. He was friends with everybody, knew everybody. And he was just probably one of the best people I've ever met. He was a wonderful conversationalist. I could talk to him for hours. He was very chill, and there was just a vibe of relaxation with him. He could be funny. All of us would just roast the crap out of each other. And then other times, him and me and a couple of others, we would sit on one of the roofs and just talk for hours, just long, deep conversations. He's the one that you always trust to like walk you home at night. He was Pakistani American. I didn't know his family, but I'm sure they're great because they raised a great son.
There was even a point when Kristen thought there may be more than a friendship between Yusuf and her.
I was in Alpha Sigma Alpha, and he was in Phi Kappa Psi fraternity. Our houses were right next to each other. So him and I got really close. We kind of bonded over our love of sports because he was a student assistant coach for the soccer team. Him and I talked about tennis and soccer and how much we loved it and just what it meant to us. We were kind of talking for a little bit and kind of held hands. We're kind of cutesy with each other, but it kind of boiled down to we weren't vibing with each other like that. He was a really big part of my life. We were just inseparable, saw each other every day, had lunch with and dinner with each other every day. He ended up being kind of like a brother to me instead.
And here's some more about Yusuf. He studied health and fitness at Muskegon University. In the more extensive reporting about Yusuf's death, his friends told reporters how selflessly Yusuf lived. He was described as quirky, friendly, and smiley. And his friend Austin said it was pretty much impossible to not smile around him or be mad with him at all. He wanted nothing but the best for himself, but also more for others. And Yusuf was on his college soccer team, but he had a lot of friends on the swim team too, and was referred to as an honorary member. And another friend referred to Yusuf as one of the most selfless, respectful, and culture people I've ever met. And Yusuf worked at his college radio and announced for sporting events, and he also hosted a weekly soccer program at 6 a.m. Yusuf volunteered as an assistant coach, and he didn't bat an eye at the grunt work involved with his job. And Yusuf's Twitter profile read the following, quote, "Life is a song, sing it. Life is a game, play it. Life is a challenge, meet it. Life is a dream, realize it. Life is love, enjoy it."
The loss of Yusuf reverberated through Maryland, especially through the city of Bethesda, where he was from. Muskegon University had a really beautiful service for Yusuf that you can watch on YouTube. And the room was packed with people who were touched by Yusuf at some point in their lives. So you can really get an idea of how beloved he was and how great he made everyone feel.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy, and it's a good thing too because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. If you're like me, you've been putting off pretty much every doctor's appointment that you should have made over the past year, and now you're scrambling to get them all done. Well, if it feels like a chore to schedule a doctor's appointment, you should check out Plush Care. So Plush Care provides virtual doctor's appointments through your smartphone or computer, and you just pick out a time that works for you and book an appointment right online. You don't have to sit on hold forever or make an appointment or leave the house and sit in a crowded waiting room. It's all done virtually. And with Plush Care, you can be diagnosed, treated, and even have a prescription sent to your pharmacy of choice if needed within minutes. Plush Care accepts most major insurance carriers and available in 50 states. And the doctor's care. They're here to help you and discuss treatment options and provide prescriptions as needed. And they're available anytime if you have questions. So PlushCare makes it easier than ever to take care of yourself inside and out. Start your membership today. Go to plushcare.com/firstdegree to start your 30-day free trial. That's PlushCare.com/firstdegree for a 30-day free trial. plushcare.com/firstdegree.
The sudden and tragic loss of Yusuf Rasmussen was palpable, overshadowed only by the mystery of what happened to him. There were still no answers, because while the reporting on Sophia Negroponte was vast, the coverage really did seem to focus on her father's political affiliations, as we said. So little was learned about the events that led to Sophia's decision to attack Yusuf, which was infuriating and what everybody wanted to know.
Sophia Negroponte was charged with first-degree murder. She pled not guilty. And a few days later, she was scheduled to appear at bond hearing to determine whether she would remain free until her trial or whether she would remain in jail. And the state urged the judge to deny Sophia's ability to remain free on bond. They said, Montgomery County Assistant State's Attorney Donna Fenton, she stated this was a violent, unprovoked attack upon a friend. citing how Sophia stabbed Yusuf numerous times in his neck, chest, and face. But then Sophia's defense attorney, Andrew Jezik, claimed that Sophia was not the initial aggressor. Quote, at most, whatever happened was that she felt in her mind that she needed to protect herself. And according to the witness, this wasn't the case. But this is where they were going with it. And ultimately, the judge sided with the state and denied her bond and ordered her to be remanded. And Judge Patricia Mitchell said, quote, I do know that something happened that caused an otherwise affable, pleasant, family-oriented young woman to create a circumstance that resulted in the death of another person.
And it turned out that the judge wasn't the only person perplexed by Sophia's seemingly unexplained attack on her friend over a quote-unquote silly argument. Sophia had a great deal of support at this hearing. Nearly a dozen family and friends came to support her. And Sophia's mom spoke to the press and explained how she and her husband adopted Sophia from an orphanage in Honduras when she was a baby. She added that her daughter had recently completed an alcohol treatment program, but noted that she's never exhibited violence throughout the span of her treatment. And her mother continued. She said, her dream was to be a nurse. Her dream is to be a nurse. Sophia asked to try to live independently of us, and within 8 days of that independence, this ghastly night occurred and her friend died. And searches on Facebook confirmed that the shock of Sophia's involvement in something so awful went beyond the confines of her family. Articles about Yusuf's killing circulated on Facebook, and those who knew Sophia made comments resembling this one that we found. Quote, she was so kind, I just can't imagine she would do something like this.
When Kristen first contacted us to share Yusuf's story, I suggested that we wait in the hope that more information would become available. I conducted this interview with Kristen last year, probably in March, and I held on to it because I didn't want to tell an incomplete story. But really, due to the state of the world and the court systems, the pandemic continued to get worse, and that didn't happen. So Sophia's trial still has yet to be commenced. And as you've probably noticed, compared to other cases we usually cover, we don't know a lot in this one. And I think that's kind of the reason why I decided to move forward with it anyway, because it's like there's something wrong with this entire situation, and we really don't know what happened. But I think what we can glean from just things we were piecing together, I mean, clearly she was in an alcohol treatment program, and her mom said she wanted to live independently of us, and this happened 8 days later. So I feel like Sophia's had some demons for a while. If her parents are worried about a 27-year-old living independently.
Yeah, I think that there are very few clues that we can kind of pick up from what's going on, but they are kind of telling clues. Like you said, like that statement is pretty telling of what's going on. And I think that your decision to move forward with this episode is a smart one, because we honestly, seeing how what's going on here, we probably won't really ever know that much about what's going on in the case. And that itself is a problem.
Right. And there was so little evidence that they talked about in the reporting, but I was able to glean some things. So I looked at the motions that have been filed in the court, they have the record of all of the motions that have been filed and all the hearings that have been conducted from both the prosecution and defense. And I think we can make some deductions based on these about what the trial might look like eventually.
So the state filed a notice of intent in calling an expert witness in forensic biology. The state filed a notice of intent to present DNA.
See, that I think is curious. I mean, if we just want to talk through some of this, like what DNA evidence?
Yeah.
It is strange because that's the state doing that. You'd think that would be the defense trying to throw a red herring in there or something. Maybe they just want to button everything down because juries are always just like, we want to see DNA. I'm not sure.
That is so weird, though, because she was there. She admitted to it, right? So it's like, what DNA could you be trying? That's very interesting.
It seems as though Sophia's defense attorneys fought long and hard to get her another bond hearing, which is something the state had been countering. And the defense filed a motion to exclude testimony from the witness from that night, Philip Guthrie, from this bond hearing. And they also filed to suppress jail recordings of statements Sophia made when she was arrested. So it's clear, because we do have Philip Guthrie there, Philip Guthrie is saying something counter to what she's saying. really, because the police saw that, they walked in really seemingly right after it happened. She's saying, I'm sorry. She's not denying that she stabbed him. She's going to go for self-defense. Guthrie is saying this wasn't self-defense. So they're trying to get Guthrie as far away from this case as possible, because he's really kind of the linchpin there. Because if Guthrie's not there, she would have a much stronger case by saying, remember when he was digging in his backpack, I thought he was going to pull something out. She could even say that he attacked her. She can say a lot of things if not for Guthrie. So that seems like what the defense is trying to do.
I mean, imagine being Guthrie at that moment too, knowing how powerful her dad is, and God knows what they might have done to maybe threaten him or shut him up or anything like that. Like, that's a really scary position for him to find himself in.
So hopefully they're not successful in suppressing his statements, because they seem very relevant.
Yes. So according to court records, on July 30th of 2020, Sophia was granted bond and she was released on $100,000, which was put up by her dad. And while there aren't answers yet, it seems as though a trial date for Sophia was set for April 19th of 2021. So we may get these answers that we're so desperately hoping for, but maybe not. And obviously, even if we do, the answers can't even begin to make up for the loss of Yusuf.
There's so little context available in terms of trying to understand what happened. What was the status of Yusuf and Sophia's relationship? We don't know. But again, doing our own little deconstructing, here's what we can infer based on what we do know. They were at a rented Airbnb the day before Valentine's Day. That could be something or that could be nothing, because a friend later joined them, but they were alone at first. So was there more than a friendship here? Well, I know when I rent Airbnbs and I'm with one other person, that's generally a relationship.
On Valentine's Day.
I mean, that's what you can infer, but who knows, right? But probably, I mean, I'm going to guess. So who really knows? But I really am curious about what Sophia's defense will be. Billy, you speculated that it will probably be self-defense, since that's sort of what her defense attorney said and was inferring at the bond hearing. We know she was in an alcohol rehab program. Her mom shared that with the media. Maybe it'll be, you know, she'll say she was intoxicated and doesn't remember. Because we know that, according to the witness, Philip, that Yusuf and Sophia were drinking when he arrived at the Airbnb. So it doesn't seem as though that alcohol treatment worked. Could that play a role in her defense? Possibly, probably, maybe not. Another big hole in this case is this quote-unquote silly argument that Sophia said prompted the attack on Yusuf. So what could have possibly driven her to such a decision? It's really, really hard to comprehend. And of course, without more information, it's hard to really speculate. But Kristen has thoughts.
So I'm not sure if they were dating or talking or what, but since there was a third person there, it kind of seems like a little bit off if they're dating or trying to date, especially if they've gotten an Airbnb. The thing that doesn't add up to me is that he was always the person to diffuse any kind of situation before it blew up. Just seeing that he was arguing with somebody, that just, it's not right to me. I feel like there's a lot of information missing, and it might just be extremely relevant to the case, so they can't share it publicly, but there's a lot of information missing, and just her story alone doesn't make sense. I wish we could hear his side, because I feel like there's her side, his side, and the truth, but we're missing two of those pieces completely.
So here's an interesting aspect to unpack. How has Sophia's father's political affiliations and connections impacted how things have unfolded so far? Let's start with what Kristen thinks.
I think she's definitely getting some kind of special treatment or protection. It seems to be kind of romanticizing the fact that she's done this awful thing, but it's fine because she's the daughter of a U.S. diplomat, which, you know, has nothing to do with anything. Also, at the same time, it has everything to do with it because she's protected. That seems to me like a performance, because if, I think it was reported by the police that she said that, trying to act like she has some kind of empathy about it. It also says that she didn't realize what she was doing until she took the knife out of his neck, which I don't buy at all, because there's so many steps to getting there. I feel like you have to be aware. I just don't buy it. It seems like the media kind of painted a picture as if Yusuf was aggressing her and that she was defending herself, which is really easy to paint because that's something that is reasonable in a lot of situations. But you also have to acknowledge that she's the one who went over to the kitchen. She took out the knife. She walked towards him. He had his hands up and he was not doing anything to her. And he wouldn't, the person I knew.
And it's interesting, you know, the media focused on Sophia and her father's connections, but those things didn't protect Sophia from being indicted on first degree murder. And for months, she didn't get bond. So if the media is siding with her, it doesn't seem as though the police and the courts are, which is obviously a relief in this case. But we'll have to see what happens when the trial begins. And either way, even a guilty verdict won't bring Yusuf back.
It's just so sad because you can be one of the best people ever and be such a light in the world and then just be taken out like that. You didn't do anything wrong. Somebody just up and decided to take you out. That's hard to maneuver. I definitely take a second look at people I don't trust very easily. And that's sad, but you know, you kind of have to nowadays. You can't trust anybody. You have to be very aware of your surroundings, especially when alcohol's involved. I want some justice to occur because she deserves to be put away. She did something awful, took a wonderful human being out of the world, and then she's just being celebrated in the media. It's sickening. You think daddy's going to protect you and that, you know, nothing bad is going to happen to you, but you have to be responsible for your own choices. And she chose to do this. I think she deserves to be put away forever.
All right. Well, thank you, Kristen, for being our first degree connection for this episode. If you are out there listening and you think that you have a story you would like to tell, no story is too small. So email us hello@thefirstdegreepodcast.com. You can follow us on Instagram @thefirstdegree, @AlexisLinkletter, @BillyJensen, @JackVanek. Join our Facebook group. We're talking true crime all the time. And join the Unraveled Facebook group too, if you've been listening to Billy and Alexis's other podcasts. And stick around because we're going to kill some time.
And remember, only you can prevent serial killers and keep your friends close.
But not that close.
Close.
Happy tortilla day.
Oh, that's bad.
Happy bartender day.
Ooh, go get yourself some guac.
Happy trading card day.
Shout out to Jared Monaco for sound design and for creating original music for The First Degree. Our producing team, Caitlin Cleveland, Taylor Rogers, and Alan Santiago. For Podcast One, sources for today's episode include The Baltimore Sun, Chicago Tribune, CNN, WTOP, Washington Post, WUSA 9, and The Daily Mail. And always, our First Degree guest is always our largest source.
If you love a good scary story, make sure to check out Sus, Share Your Scare, with Brennan and Jake Taylor.
Was it as crazy as the movies make it?
There's rumors about the Conjuring House that there's bodies in the basement right now as we speak.
And they're like, if you guys don't come out right now, we're going to send in the dogs.
But we went and like hid in the closet.
And the next thing I remember, you are holding me in the ocean and I see our jet skis floating away.
Get new episodes of Sus, Share Your Scare, every Wednesday on Podcast One, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. But do you know it's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. You know, I think it's time for some straight talk. You know, let's face it, tax returns could look a little bit different for a lot of people this year, but you're still going to get a lot of noise in your ear about how you should spend it. So when the big carriers start trying to get you to splurge on the latest nonsense, just tune it out and rock out with only the best deals. Spend it on what makes you happy. With Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199, so you can listen to your favorite music wherever you go.
go. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. So come on, start the year on a high note. Tune out the nonsense and tune in to Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. All right. Well, welcome to yet another episode of Killing Time. How are we doing, guys?
We're good.
We are wonderful.
We're recording during the day, which is different for us.
It does feel different. It feels unusual.
Yeah, it feels unusual. We don't have our cocktails, or at least I don't. Do you guys?
Nope. Just drinking sparkling water here.
So am I. Liquid Death. Sparkling water of choice.
Yes.
You guys are back home from your trip. How do we feel about being back home in Cali?
I'm really jet lagged. I'm really tired. But the weather is gorgeous, like shockingly nice.
Yeah, you really get to appreciate Southern California when you get back here and you realize how great the weather is.
Yeah, because we were literally we were literally ping-ponging between Atlanta, which was like freezing, and Orlando, which was like swamp air. So it was like, and I forgot we were going to Florida for some reason. So I brought like wool and down and like the heaviest stuff. Nothing in Florida. I was like miserably hot or freezing the whole time. It was there was no comfort.
Yeah. We walked around Florida and then we snuck into the Grand Floridian and we were both all wearing all black.
Oh
like
my God.
Black jeans, black shirts. It was like we were like who is that German techno group walking around amongst these people with shorts and t-shirts on?
I was wearing boots, one bodysuit, and I was like, Billy, I need to go buy a t-shirt right now or I'm going to pass out. So we went to this other hotel that had a gift shop, but everything was so ugly. I came back. He's like, you didn't get anything. I was like, they didn't have anything black. They just had like pastel pink and like it wasn't my vibe. So I'll just sweat and live in this.
Oh, you should have gotten yourself a nice souvenir from being in Florida, you know?
I didn't want any more crap in my house.
No more.
She doesn't like crap in her house. No. If we could have found a cool black, probably Disney villains shirt with Maleficent on it or something, that would have met, but no.
Did you guys end up like walking by any bars that were popping and not COVID friendly?
We drove through Orlando, and like when we got to Orlando from Atlanta, Billy was driving, my jaw was on the ground. We saw people in like sequin dresses, like going to clubs, holding groups. It was like COVID never happened there. It was crazy.
Never happened. Well, during the Super Bowl, it was like Diplo and 50 Cent were having an actual full-on concert there, which was shocking.
Yeah. If you want to live in a make-believe world, just go to Florida because they are not really acknowledging the pandemic. Some people are. Some people are just like really good about it. Some people not so much. So, you know, there's a spectrum. Right. There is everywhere.
Yeah. And then we went to one truck stop as we were driving. We probably logged maybe 13 or 1400 miles on the trip. And we went into one truck stop and then I didn't realize it until like sort of the very end. Cause Alexis, like, let's get out of here. Everybody, literally everyone in the truck stop wasn't wearing a mask and it was all different types of people. It was like an
SNL skit. It was like in a cafeteria, every type of person you could imagine, like every demographic or subculture. And it was like, everywhere you look, there was no masks, and it was like being in a nightmare.
Yeah, and meanwhile, we're doing tests every other day, and we're doing all of these protocols, and then we're just
Alexis is double masked and a shield, and has pure alcohol on her hands at all times.
When we went to New York, Jack, I was dying. Jack's like on the phone with her mom. She's like, "No, mom, she's worse about it than me. Like, I spray everything with alcohol."
Well, you're actually worse about it than my mom is, who my mom is the biggest germ freak in the world before COVID. So then when COVID came around, I mean, she's still spraying every single food container, glass, whatever, with pure alcohol as well, even though there's little to no, you know,
transference of COVID through surfaces, but she's still doing it. And Alexis, so are you.
So am I.
You know,
don't want to. I came this far without getting it, without transferring it. I don't want to get it. We're almost there at the home stretch. Might as well just keep the diligence up.
Cannot get it now. Absolutely no. Refuse to get it now. We're almost Same. There. Okay. Well, I'm glad that you guys are back. I was listening to an older episode of ours recently to do a little bit of a research for something that we're working on. Have you guys went back and listened to any old First Degrees? Because they are so different and so amazing in their own kind of messy way.
No, tell us.
I haven't. Yeah. What did you? Because I know the episodes that you're talking about. I'm going to listen to them tomorrow. But for a special guest appearance that we're going to be doing. But no, what happened? What did you discover?
Well, first of all, I mean, they're so less structured than the way that we do it now, which I think that it's like good and bad. We had so much more banter in between, you know, us saying the facts of the story, but it would go on the craziest and longest tangents about like random shit. And the story would just like, it would go all over the place. And then we also would keep in when we would fuck up. So I would be like trying to pronounce a word for 5 different times.
Right.
And then it would just, I would just keep it in. We wouldn't take it out. We wouldn't start over. We wouldn't try to sound smart like we do now. We just kept all of our mishaps in the episode. And it was kind of endearing.
What we do now is like what Instagram is. We do like a highlight reel, but you have no idea all of the mishaps that happen that we edit out now. But we got so much mixed criticism about that. Some people want the banter back. Some people hated it. It's just like you can't please everyone. But I think incorporating some more deliberate banter is good, which we're going to try to be better about. Because there's going to be a balance that we can find. But yeah, it was endearing the way we used to do it, like little children.
Yeah. I mean, and we did in the beginning, for the first episode that I had listened to, we were talking about, it was the first time that we learned what Harry Potter houses that we were in, and Alexis still hadn't watched. Have you watched Harry Potter since then, or still a no?
No, still no.
Still a no. Well, we all like took the Pottermore test and found our houses, and it was pretty cute in the beginning. But we talked about that for a good 10 minutes before we even tried to get into the episode.
Yeah. Where it's hard when you're authentically friends with people, it's easy to go off on tangents, which we are to do in real life.
And remember, we were doing those in person. It's been a year now that we've been doing these over Zencastr and Zoom. So it's a different dynamic. Usually when we're in person, where it's a whole night, you know,
it's more fun. That's what I was going to say. The chemistry, I know Alexis likes doing these remotely because it's easier, but you know what? Our chemistry can't be beat when we're all together. It's just a different kind of a feeling.
It was more fun. We would make a night of it. And honestly, we were being more creative business-wise because we had more time to talk about business and like the brand, and we would have dinner, and it was more bonding for sure. I do miss that.
Yep. I miss it too. Yep.
It'll come back at some point.
Hopefully a few months. There's two things in the episode that I wanted to point out. One of them, and I totally forgot we even did this, is at the end of the episode, I would say, what did we learn today? And then we'd have a wrap-up discussion about what we learned from that episode. And I thought it was cute.
I think we should bring that back.
I remember that. We should bring that back.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, we're trying to do a second episode of the week just for Killing Time. So I think that when we separate Killing Time from the regular episode, we should have a what did we learn today discussion at the end to kind of wrap it all up, you know?
I agree. Good idea.
And then the last thing that happened in this episode is we are trying to figure out what to call our listeners. And there were some good ideas that we never followed through on. And I just wanted to re-bring them up so you guys could like have it in the front of your memory, just in case we want to use any of them. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So number one, we wanted to call our super fans the Owls.
That was good.
Right? Yeah. Why did we ever go through with that?
That's definitely not happening now.
It's too late.
Yes, you're
Wasn't
right.
there also the Hot Links?
There was the Hot Links.
hot links are delicious. So that would, I don't hate that.
It was hot links because everybody that listens to The First Degree is a hottie. And then we're all linked together.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the hot links.
I liked that hot links too.
Yeah. So maybe we'll bring the hot, maybe we can do some kind of like a hot link. Maybe we can bring the hot links into Killing Time or something like that and make some merch off of it.
Speaking of hot link, I have a digression, if you'll allow me to do that.
Yeah. Digress.
So I was weirdly watching a random channel. Billy, I think it was our last night wherever we were staying, Atlanta, who knows. I was watching Undercover Boss, okay? And it was the CEO of Wiener Schnitzel who disguised herself and went to go work at the Wiener Schnitzel. And I have like a whole new respect for Wiener, like any hot dog now. Just based on like, there are like 100 Wiener
like Schnitzel. The hot dogs themselves?
I don't know. The whole, I don't like hot dogs. I think they're gross. I don't like the way they taste. Yeah. But she really cares, man, about these hot dogs. And they dressed, she's an older woman, and they dressed her up like a 20-year-old, like, punk queen, like, with, like, black eyeliner and, like, spiky hair. And I was like, this is an amazing show. I've never watched this before. But that's my digression. Sorry. Wiener Schnitzel, Undercover Boss.
Do they come in as a new employee for Undercover Boss, or do they come in as, like, a secret shopper?
They come in as a new employee. Yeah. And they think they tell the other employees that they're doing a doc on, like, employee training or something. Like, because they obviously have to explain, like, why they're there.
That they're filming.
It is just so funny. The guy who, and then they pull the people training the undercover boss unknowingly aside. Like, so how's she doing? He's like, she is not cut out for fast food, man. This woman does not know what she's doing. It is so funny.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But I've never seen that show before. It was just idly on and I loved it. I was like, this is good TV.
And now you love it. It is good TV.
And thank God you're going to stop disrespecting hot dogs, because every day Alexis will say one bad thing about a hot dog and it really does dampen the mood.
Alexis.
I don't like them. Still don't.
You're going to have to start liking them when we start calling our listeners the hot links.
Human hot dogs.
A human hot dog. The last name that somebody had come up with was the Van Gensetters. Nope. The Van Gen...
What was it?
It combined all of our names, and I don't feel the link letter.
Van Gen Letters?
Oh, yeah, the Van Gensetters. The Van Gen Letters.
I like that.
I kind of like that one, too. You know? We got to, like, pull some of these names into the firsty lifestyle. But I am glad that we ended up landing on firsties, because I feel like that's the best name for a listener.
It is.
Yeah, it's easy. Cute. It's good. Super cute.
Yeah.
And there will be. Do we have any merch that says firsties on it?
Mm-mm. I need to make some. Listen, we're going to do a whole revamp when we relaunch and all this shit.
The catchphrase can be firsties, not the worsties. A memoir.
Be a firstie, not a worstie. Something like that.
Yeah. Wow, we are really a lot better at our life. We're really better conversationalists at night. That was one of the worst jokes I've ever said on this podcast.
We really need some liquid courage. You know, it's hard, but you know, got to do what you got to do. Got to get the podcast out somehow, and this is our only time to do it. So, Godspeed to us.
Yes, and have we killed enough time? Do we think?
Let's put this one out of its misery.
All right, we're gonna take it behind the barn and take care of this. So, time of death 13:25.
Beep. Beep.